chiropractic in Perth, flew over to Sydney, has built up a tribe of people who follow him and listen to him. He's got a blog that he does, podcasts that he does with very popular people. He spent 3 weeks ago, he met Gary Vaynerchuk himself and some other high rollers. So that's the sort of crowd that Lawrence plays in. And before I do introduce Lawrence, if you do get a chance, I did a post on Facebook this morning with an interview with Gary Vaynerchuk and Larry King. If you do get a chance, it goes for half an hour, please go and watch that interview. Very, very good. But these are the people, and Lawrence has met Gary Vaynerchuk a few times. So this is the type of company that Lawrence just hangs around. So he's going to talk to you about becoming the authority in your market. It's a really important conversation, so if you could please stand up and give him a big round of applause. Lawrence Tam.
Thank you. Thanks, man. You definitely don't have to stand. Please sit. So, show of hands, how many of you want to have more business, a profit in your business? Yeah? Excellent. So we're in the right room. But the key to ask this question now is to understand that, just going to get a feel for the room. Most of you, who serves local, like to local customers and clients? Who do outside, like international? Anybody? A couple of you? Okay, great. Excellent. So today I got two sessions with you, and we're going to talk about authority marketing in terms of building an authority and building a tribe. Now, because it's a small group, I'm happy to guide the conversation to wherever you want it to go. I'll probably start off by kind of give you a couple of context, and then if you have any questions, please feel free to stop, and let's go in the direction that you're here. I'm here to serve you. Basically, you're here for yesterday and today to really just implement and take those strategies and apply it, right? So if that's what you're going to do, then let's make sure we actually do that. Because there's a whole, like you said, from what I can hear yesterday, you guys got a lot of content. Adam is a good friend of mine, and I'm sure he's given you great content yesterday. And from what I saw from, I think Tanya, is it Tanya yesterday that came in? She was, for the first hour I was here, and just she gave a lot of stuff. And so your head's probably already full. So me giving you more information is just going to top it over, and something's got to give. And what I want to do is be able to give you information, but let's take the most relevant information that's applied to your business and actually make it happen, right? Because that's what matters. And Steve just talked about today, the speed of implementation is actually the key here. The faster you actually implement, the faster you're actually going to be able to see the results and feedback. And who feels that this world that we live in is quite stressful in terms of the amount of things that we actually have to do? Great. Compared to 5 years ago, we have to do a lot more nowadays, right? Great. So who thinks in 5 years' time it's actually going to get easier? No, exactly, right? So guess what? In 5 years' time, you're going to be probably worse off position-wise in terms of time than you are currently today. I know that sucks, but that's just the reality, right? Ever since the introduction of the internet, when I got my first email in 1994, I was in University of Waterloo. I remember getting my first email. I thought, what the hell is this? Why do I need an email, right? Now, 20 years later, it's like, it's just part of life. Social media came in on the scene around 2006 or so when you first signed up for your Facebook account. Do you remember the first when you first signed up, everybody's signing up Facebook, like, what's this Facebook thing? What am I gonna go on this thing for, right? And then you sign up and all of a sudden now that's the only way we communicate. And then you got Snapchat to start popping up. It's like, holy freaking hell, like Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, how am I supposed to do all of this stuff? Trust me, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm in a business, you're in a business. So let's face that, that's the fact of life. And it's actually how fast you can able to pivot and move and adapt to it. Now, do you have to do it all? Probably not. Should you at least try for some of it? Absolutely. So today about building an authority, it's not about doing everything well, it's about doing a few things great and excellent at and genius at, because you can't do it all. And so can you hire someone else to do it? Yes. Sometimes you're a one-man show or one-woman show. That's fine. We all start out that way. But eventually, hopefully you'll grow to a point where you can actually hire people, staff, VAs. Yes? Sounds fair? So let's start off with this. Let's start off by asking the question, what are you in business for? What's the purpose of business? It's okay, you can answer. Okay, great. Perfect. So let's talk about profit, right? We're in it for profit, are we not? Right? Because business is about making money, and money is not a bad thing. Money is typically the value, right, in exchange for the value you give to someone else, okay? So the more value you give to someone, the more value you get. That's the money exchange. And hopefully you actually given more value than the money you actually receive, so therefore that person wins, right? And someone else said profit and the people you serve. I'm sure all of us are in business to actually hope that we can actually help the other person win, right? All your clients, you want them to win. You want them to do better than where they were before they actually met you, right? And that's one of the purpose of business. And the third thing I think is if you're lucky enough is to actually do something you're actually passionate about, right? If you actually, like every day, rock it 9 to 5, whatever, you're 9 to 12 or whatever you do, you rocking in and out of your day, actually doing the things you absolutely love, then it's not work. But there's a thing that, I mean, I'm sure you heard, oh, follow your passion. But here's the problem with passion. Everybody thinks passion is like, follow your passion, it'll be just bliss. It'll be just like doing yoga all day. That's not true, right? If you think the connotation passion, it's about, like, if you're passionate with someone, or if you're, like, think of the passion of Christ. Was that suffering, or is it like luxury? It's suffering. See, when you think about passion, when people say follow your passions, it's not about like just making everything easy. It's actually making everything hard. Passion is about, following passion is about you, your willingness to do something that is actually hard and you still want to do it. Does that make sense? Okay? For most of you who actually love your business, you know you love your business and you know you have hard times. I've had hard times, you've had hard times, but hey, we love it. You love the grind because you're so passionate about it. You're so passionate about plants. Make sense? And some people, and everybody here in this business is that sometimes it's you're passionate about the business itself. You might not be passionate about the thing you're doing, but you actually just love building businesses. That's okay too, right? So whatever you find in your business or your life is that you should find something that you're willing to sacrifice 8, 10, 12, 16 hours a day to do that. That's what passion should be about. Because if you're not, I think it's time to look for something else. Right? It's never too late to change. Like, why would you, like, I just think about it. Why would you in 2016, do something in your life that you spend literally at least 8 hours a day for 5 days a week, if not more? We're all entrepreneurs and own businesses, right? So therefore, it's like at least 12 hours a day for at least 6 days a week, right? Why would you do that for something that you have no love for, that you're not willing to work at it every day? It's just insanity. And that might be a wake-up call for some of you, and that's fine. I'm not suggesting you quit your job tomorrow or just sell your business tomorrow. What I'm saying is that you should look and find what that next thing is. Yeah? Is that okay to kind of talk like that? Yeah, great. Because that is really what the purpose of business is. If you look at, because if you're passionate, then it's easier to kind of focus on the people, right? The people that you serve and make them win, and guess what? And all of a sudden, the profit will come on its own, right? You got to focus on all three key things. The challenge that you find in business, or that I find in business, is that sometimes, like each one of you have, I don't think a single person here owns the same type of business, right? You're all in different types of businesses in different industries, right? So when I was about, I was born in Canada, so that's where my accent comes from. And so born and raised in Canada. And when I was about 5 years old, my brother was about three. He's about two and a half years younger than me. And my parents decided that we're going to move. My dad was probably around my age now. I'm 41. And we decided to move to Hong Kong. That's where my mother's family was. And the reason they told me, right, at 5 years old, and this is the memory that I had, was that, you know, we're moving because, you know, so you can learn about your culture. I'm like, 5 years old, I'm like, culture? I'm Canadian. Like, what culture? Right? So that's my thought process. But, you know, for them, I'm sure at his point, you know, being in his probably 40s or late 30s, he's thinking about, like, we got to find something better for our kids and for our family, and that he's trying to grow as much what you're trying to do. And so we moved to Hong Kong. One of the reasons why was because my grandfather, my mom's dad, he had a concreting business. And he started off as a concrete truck driver. That's what he had. He was a concrete truck driver. And then from one concrete truck driver, he bought a second truck, and then a third truck, and a fourth truck, and he built a business around it. And in Hong Kong, he eventually became one of the largest concreting business that actually put up the structures, the apartments that you still see out there in Hong Kong right now. Right? That was his business. It was growing. So my dad decided to go over there and help him out because they needed some help. It was a family business. And so when we got there, you know, I entered senior kindergarten, and we stayed there for 4 years. And during that period of time, it's the 1980, right? So 1980 to 1984. And so if you remember back what happened around that time, early 80s was the high interest housing, housing interest. I think interest rate went up to like 18% or something like that across the world. And so therefore, what happened was, obviously, you know, the housing market kind of crashed. You know, we're putting up buildings and no one's going to buy them. And so the company was in dire straits. At the same time around that was happening was England, right, decided to say, hey, China, you can have Hong Kong back, right? And the people in Hong Kong going, holy shit, crap, we've been under British rule for so long, and now we're going to go to communism China, right? So the people in China, in Hong Kong, you can imagine, are in panic mode. So then there was people just leaving, like, right, to Canada, to Australia, to wherever parts of the world would accept them, because they just want to go, they don't want to have, even though it wasn't going to happen until like 1999, which is like another 15 years later, right? But they knew, like, they had to get out. So with that combination of the housing prices going down, that company going bankrupt, and then, you know, what's happening in Hong Kong, my parents decided to move back. So, which I was very happy about, because I always told my friends, I was like, I'm not staying here. I'm going back to Canada. That's my homeland, right? The problem was, though, when you spend 4 years of your life, especially around the age 5 to 9, where it's the most critical part about learning a language, even though I spoke English before I left, I didn't speak English when I got back, right? So when I was 9 years old, we got back around June, got back to around July, August, which is our summer month in Canada. We attended summer school. I'm not sure you guys have summer school here, but summer school in Canada was like sort of like for those people who didn't do very well during the school year, so they put them in summer school for like 6 to 7 weeks to kind of learn more. And so we enter summer school, and I remember clearly at 9 years old, back into my home country, not being able to speak my own language. And I remember, do you remember recess? Recess, right? It's all about play. Well, when you can't understand or speak or communicate with your other people, your friends in your class, you're not going to have many friends. Make sense? And I remember, at recess, I was literally just sort of sitting on a bench somewhere, looking at my Timex watch, counting down the 20 minutes, hoping that 20 minutes would go away. Now think about that. How many of you ever felt like in business that you're kind of the only person who actually understands your business? No one understands you, your troubles, your frustration, your anxiety that you're going through. How many of you have ever been through that before? Yeah. And if you actually understand and get the feel of the room, that you're not alone, right? I get that each one of you are all in separate businesses. I get that you're all in different industry. And sometimes we kind of feel when you listen to someone and they say something, it goes, yeah, but you don't understand my business. Yeah, you don't understand my business. I'm different. You ever feel like catch yourself saying that sometimes? But I think we got to remember, if we just take a look at what happened yesterday and everything that you learned, and we take it from a higher level, and don't worry about the little level, but let's take it from a higher level and say, hey, you know, business is just business, isn't it? Business is just business. If we just come down to the core, it's really just understanding how can you learn something from someone, even if it's completely different from a different industry, how does it apply to me? I actually rather learn from someone who's outside the industry of my industry to teach me about my business than learning from my own industry. Because learning from my own industry, it's like learning tactics from like 1990s, right? My industry, in the chiropractic industry, it's terrible because they're just renowned to just repeat the same thing that we talked about 20 years ago. And that's not the way the world works. We need to start to adapt. We need to start creating languages. And so when I remember when I was 9 years old, I remember clearly in my head is that that is not going to be, I don't want to be like that. And I spent the next 20, 30 years just, and I'm still learning, to learn how to communicate, how to relate to the person next to me, and find the language, the common language that allows us to communicate with each other. And to order to get better profit, right, you just got to be able to demonstrate your passion to the people that you serve and communicate it in not in your language, but in their language. Does this make sense? That's the key. How do you help people win is to be able to speak in the value that's in front of you, the customer that's in front of you. I believe Tanya went through some tribe stuff, right? Building your authority and actually looking at your target market. That's very, very important. That's probably the first thing that anybody should be thinking about. Why is that so important? It's because when you actually have a niche or a particular tribe, you can now understand how they speak. Right? I kind of overheard what you were talking about before about high end, right? High end is it gardening or? Yeah. Right. So if it's high end, like even just that word high end, all of a sudden eliminates like, 80% of the marketplace. Now the communication style to that type of group is going to be very clear. The languaging, the fonts, the colors is going to match to that particular tribe. Does this make sense? And so you got to be very, very clear in who you serve. So why don't we start there? Actually, sorry about the workbook pages because they're the way I listed in the order that I wanted it, it didn't happen that way. So they're all kind of random order. So we're just going to go with it, okay? So what you're going to do right now is the first one. So, no, it's not. It's the third page. So is this one called Tribe Connection Creator? Okay, it's this one like this. Do you see that? Okay. So let's start there. The Tribe Connection Creator. So just to kind of give you some background, I know I didn't really introduce who I am, and you're trying to figure out, like, why should I listen to this guy, right? So like I said, I'm a chiropractor, but about 4 years ago, I started a podcast. Anybody listen to podcast? Yeah, great. I started a podcast called The Wellness Guys. This is around before podcasts were, it was just kind of coming up. Who's listened to I Love Marketing before? Joe Polish, Dean Jackson? No, maybe, yep, okay. So I started listening to that podcast. It was about 3 months in for them. And then I go, these are two guys just talking. I'm like, I could do that, right? So I called them a couple of buddies and I go, hey, you know what a podcast is? We think we should start an internet radio show, right? We should just talk on health and stuff. And so that's what we did. So 4.5 years, actually almost 5 years now, we started our first show. And just literally just recorded and called The Wellness Guys. We came number one in Australia on health, probably within about 4 months, 16 weeks actually. We hit number one. And wow. We did no marketing. We didn't tell anybody. All we did was use Facebook and tell our friends and go, hey, we started a podcast. That's all we did. And after about a year, we figured out, like, this is actually a cool thing. So let's start getting more shows. And we created something called The Wellness Couch. So now The Wellness Couch is like a, think of it like a Channel 7 a podcast, but for health and wellness. It's purely for that tribe, right? For anybody who's interested in health and wellness, that's the podcast station you want to listen to. We have 20 shows now, 20 different shows. I do two of them, Inside Champions Mind, which is just on mindset stuff, and then The Wellness Guys. And there's all these other people who's going to be on the show, like Cindy O'Meara, Karen Smith, Kim Morrison, like all these people have their own shows now talking to their individual tribes. So we got a show called Cindy O'Meara, Kim Morrison, and Karen Smith. They call it for Up for Chat. It's like literally three expert women, nutrition, mindset person. And what they talk about is just women stuff. Their podcast goes for an hour, right? Our goes for half an hour. So everybody has their own different formats. You listen to a different podcast, like everybody has got their own little thing. But that little thing is for that particular niche, for that particular target market. Does that make sense? And so whoever follows you is what you want to have. So when you want to think about this, is that there's four things when you come to think about tribes. Let's do this here. So the four things you want to think about, and this comes from, three of them kind of came from a good mentor of mine came named Matt Church, and then I just sort of added another one here. So let's start off with the first one, right? I think it's really important that you got to know your market. That's the first thing you need to think about when it comes to anything in the form of marketing or any business that you're going to start or actually where you are now, is what's the market? And the question I have when I ask about the tribe in terms of market is, who do you want to be a hero to? Okay, let me repeat that question. Who do you want to be a hero to? Yeah. Who do you want to serve, right? Like, because if you're going to serve, you're going to have a business for, what kind of business are you in? Carpenter, okay, great. So that could be a lot of things, couldn't it, right? It could be new homes, it could be constructions, renovations, it could be anything, right? But who do you want to be a hero to? And let me ask that question a different way. The thing is about who you want to be a hero to is that if you're going to spend, like I said, 8-12 hours a day doing something that you hopefully love, you might as well spend time with people that you actually like. Would you agree? Yeah. So let's not have clients that you actually hate, because then you're just going to have, if you had a 12-hour day, right, 12-hour day, you hate your job, you don't like what you're doing, and you also don't like your clients, you're definitely in a position to transition to something else. Okay? Let's be very, very clear on that.
Person walks in the door, I don't have a choice to tell them to walk out.
You do.
Actually, you do. Absolutely do. Well, that's the thing. Are you in it for the money or are you in it for the people? Right? So that's a very, very clear cut answer. Like, I'm not suggesting you go, I don't like you, go. I'm not suggesting that. Okay, that's just not good customer service, right? Yeah. You're ugly, go, right? No, of course not. Like, that's not what I'm suggesting. But I would, like, I don't accept everybody as a client. Okay? And I don't think you should too. Like, if you accept everybody as a client, then you're just going to run. Think about the time and energy. Okay, think about your worst client. Everybody think of a client that you've in the past that you absolutely did not like, right? Think about, yeah, everybody got one? Okay. How much time did you spend with that client? Was it more or less than your best client? Too much. How much energy did you waste on that client compared to your best client? Okay, right. How much heartache, stress, and anxiety, and cortisone levels, right, that affected you, right, compared to the person that was your best referrer? How much time did it affect your family life, your relationship with your husband, your wife, your kids, outside of your hours that you actually worked because of that one person? Exactly. So, let's go back to the original question. Why would you accept a client that you actually don't like? I was a chiropractor, right? So which means I'm a doctor and a patient's gonna come in. Now, it doesn't mean that I won't accept them. It's just that I will make it almost slightly more difficult for me to actually take on your care. It makes sense?
Yeah.
And I will refer you. I will literally tell a client, if they're not right for me, I'll literally tell him, he goes, I am not the right chiropractor for you. I would actually highly recommend to this person who is my enemy. But you can go see him. No, just joking. No, I wouldn't be that cruel. So let's go back to the high context. All I'm saying is, if you're going to spend your day in, day out with something that you love, you don't want to ruin that with the people that you serve, right? The people you serve should be the people that you actually want to help. So this is just an exercise, okay? This is just an exercise. So the exercise is if I had to choose my clients, my ideal clients, who would that be? Who do you want to be a hero to? Who do you want to kind of be like, yes, I don't want to serve these type of people, okay? So I want you to take some time right now on the top there is write down all the possible marketplaces that you could serve that you would like to be a hero to, okay? You don't have to choose right now, but at least sort of come down with a few, because there's going to be tons. You can serve a lot of people. But the clearer you are, the better you're going to be. Okay, if I wouldn't suggest you go, I want to serve males. Okay, that's not a target market. That's 50% of the population, right? Does that make sense? Even if I said, I ask chiropractors all the time, who's your target market? He goes, females. I go, okay, at least give me an age group, right? And it's like, 25 to 50-year-old. I'm like, okay, Let me ask you a question. A 25-year-old woman is going through a completely different life than someone who's 45-year-old. Wouldn't you not agree? Right? 25, you're possibly like, you're single. You may have actually a stable partner. You might be thinking about maybe getting married, maybe having kids. Right? At 45, you're thinking like, I can't wait to get my kids out the door. Right? Like, it's just different life, right? Different perspective. And so therefore, their fears, frustration, problems are going to be completely different. Make sense? So let's be very clear on like what kind of market, you know, name them, whatever. You don't have to share it, so this is for you. Okay? Go ahead, do that. Do you have some music? Thanks.
That's awesome. I'm going to tell this. Thank you. This story is great. So David Moster? Okay. All right. And they were saying about how he was saying like they would have a company meeting. And they would, is it a board meeting, I assume? And all the employees vote for their worst client. And once they pick that one worst client, they actually have a wake for them and fire them. That's awesome. I've actually had a friend of mine, what they do is they have so many friends, but every New Year's, they only invite, I don't know, let's say it was 100 people. Okay, they're 100 people, and they would invite these 100 people to their New Year's Eve party. But every year they would look at that 100 people and then call the list. And then because you meet new people and then you're like, yup, you don't make the top 100, you know? So like, think about in our own lives, like you weren't talking about customers, right? That's okay in a business because you can kind of leave business away from home. But let's think about our own lives context. Why are we hanging around with people that actually you don't actually like? Or drains your energy, or the energy vampires in your life. Why would we do that? Now, I understand you have to love your family, right? I understand that someone, you know, it might be your family members, right? Right? That is the problem. I get that. Now, if it's your husband or your wife, that's a totally different seminar. But if it's someone in your family, like you're, you know, maybe a parent or something, I get you can't fire them, right? But friends, definitely, there's going to be certain times where you just need to learn to cut the ties, right? Because they're holding you back. It's just from a pure mindset point of view. So I'm sorry to distract you on your exercise. Is that good? Yep. Okay, cool. So, all right. So now, let's move on. I just realized my time is... Okay, so I just want to be clear. I haven't even started the slide deck yet. And I got all these... I'm never going to get through these worksheets, just to be very clear. But we'll do the best we can, okay? Now, the market, you got your market, right? Okay, so what I want you to do, I know this is very, very difficult for you, right? I understand your pain that you're going to go through in the next minute. This is going to be different, so take a deep breath and breathe. Everybody has at least like three, five marketplaces, I assume, yeah? So what you're going to have to do now, listen carefully. I know this is hard. I know it's hard. But what you're going to do right now is out of those five things you wrote down, you're going to choose, I know, one. Okay? Now, one target market. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't serve the other four. You're not ignoring them. But just, I just want you to be, for the next exercise here, I just want you to choose one group. Okay? One group. Is that okay? Okay? All right. So you got that? All right. So the next thing you want to do, once you choose your market, you got to be very clear in what the message is, okay? Because if you don't know what you're going to say to this group, when we talked about communication, remember? Remember my, you know, 9-year-old story? It's about communication. If you can't speak the language, their language, that's a problem. Like, not my inability to speak English at that time, whose fault is that? That's not their fault, it's my fault, right? If someone doesn't understand your business, it's not their fault, it's your fault. And it's your responsibility to change your method of how you communicate that message, and if you still don't get it, it's still my fault, and therefore I need to continually change until they actually understand, yeah? So, why did I get you to choose one marketplace is because it's a lot easier to find a message when it comes down to one market rather than four or five different markets. Because let's go back to the chiropractic for a second. If I was to speak, chiropractic is very simple, right? It's the message is exactly the same, is that here's your brain, you got a spinal cord, you mess with that, any interference with that brain communication to spinal cord down your spine, which happens to be in your spine, which happens to be in your back, that's why chiropractors work on that back. If you have any interference with that communication between the brain and that spinal cord, your body doesn't function very well. So my job as a chiropractor is to remove that interference to allow you to function to the best of your ability. That's it. Now, that message could be for everybody, right? However, if I had a woman who's pregnant compared to like a CrossFit athlete, right? The message could be exactly the same, but how I say it, the words I use is going to be completely different, right? Because they're two different tribes or two different marketplaces. Does this make sense? So therefore, your message of your business needs to change and adapt. The core of the message stays exactly the same, but how you say it is going to differ because everybody have different pain points. So if this pregnant woman is worried about, if it's a first-time mom, do you remember first-time moms in here? Yeah. You're worried about the safety of this child, right? You're worried about all the things that's going to happen. You're worrying about all the changes that you're going through. This guy is like, I want freaking change, right? He's a CrossFitter. He wants like, I want to be buffed. I want to be strong. I want to stop getting these injuries, right? They're a totally different mentality. So I want you to think about, do this exercise now, is what's the message that you want, your business is trying to communicate to? What fears, you want to write this down, what fear, I think Adam did this yesterday, right? What fears and frustrations are you trying to solve for that tribe? Right? What wants and desires do they want that you can speak to? So now you can actually, when you go through this exercise, it's better to have things on the page than in your head. Okay? So the key thing is, you're welcome. The key thing is when you actually get the message out there, well, now you can actually take what's on your page and actually craft that Facebook ad marketing. You can craft that message in your copy, in your writing for your blog, or your article that you're going to write, or YouTube channel, or your Instagram page, whatever you're using it for. Does this make sense? Because once you're very clear, and here's the thing, this is how I try to do, every time you actually sit down to do any marketing thing, you want to live inside the person, your client's head. You want to live in their nightmares, okay? It doesn't mean you stay there for very long, right? You got to get in, you got to get out. Right? But you got to remove you out of the picture. You literally got to float inside because here's the thing. I'll come back to this picture in a sec. There's sort of like three layers. Is when someone tells you their problems, that's their reality. Right? I have a problem. You know, I deal with people's problems all the time, right? When someone goes, why did you come in to see me? They tell you, blah, 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 these are my problems. That's good if you only take it at surface level. But what you need to do, right, if you're smart about this, is to kind of understand what's the hidden problem behind, underneath that reality that they're telling you. Oh, that's their reality. Like, what's the layer underneath that they're not willing to speak to you about, but you know that that's actually the problem itself. Exactly. Right? Let's take relationships for example. It's top of my head, right? When a wife gets angry at a husband for not taking out the garbage, right? That may be the reality. Like she might be telling a friend is like, you know, like my husband just never takes out the garbage. I don't understand. Now really, when you think about it, like that could be the reality. And then she could interpret it as a go, okay, well like here's how you solve that problem. Or if she reads it correctly, it's like there might be something underneath that actually is driving that emotion. Would you agree? Because I'm sure taking out the trash is not the problem here. There's probably some other thing that's going on deep inside of her that she's feeling that's causing that for her to say that because she's not willing to come out and say that. Now, she might tell a good friend what that would be, but typically if we're just having normal conversation from a business interaction, they're never going to tell you what the hidden problems are. Does this make sense? There's one more level, though, is that there's a secret problem that's underlying all of that. Now, I just want to be very clear. This is okay to talk about because that's what they talked about. And if you're smart, I will kind of talk about this. But this is just for you to know but never talk about. Okay? Secret problems are kind of like, I know it, but I'm not going to say it. But I know you're I will want to be empathetic to that person's problem, but I can actually utilize that to help them win. Does this make sense? So in this example where I talked about the woman, like she might be thinking like the husband is not dumping the garbage. The hidden problem might be just that you know, like, I'm just frustrated because like the hidden problem of me, I don't feel like he loves me anymore because he's not doing the things that he should be in a family household. The secret problem could be, I'm just making stuff up here, right? I'm not talking about anybody, but secret problem is like, I'm scared my husband's cheating on me. Does this make sense? So it's like three layers that goes through our head. And if you apply that to your own life, that's exactly what happens. You never tell anybody your secret problems or your secret fears, do you? Not even your closest friends sometimes, or your even partner, because that's the deep-seated stuff. But you know you're feeling it, though. Yeah? We all got secrets that we're not willing to share. But if we're human, so is the person that you're dealing with. I assume that everybody's in the business dealing with humans, right? So therefore, this is going to be, if you really want to get good at this, you kind of want to know that this is never the problem. You want to know that. And if you can get to this level, that's awesome, because then you can actually, just imagine if someone kind of came up to you and talked to you at that level, like at this level, and they know that about you, don't you feel like this instinct, like, oh my God, he's talking to me. He understands me. Does that make sense? That's how you build authority. If you want to be, I know, going back to what my topic was, it's about building authority, right? Building authority is about being able to understand your marketplace so well, and you can explain their problem better than they can. Right? If you can explain their problem better than they can, you win. Have you ever been to a seminar or listened to a speaker or when read a book somewhere or a quote and someone, and you just read something going, oh my God, that's exactly my problem. They explain it in such a simple way. And you go, I love this person. Even though I don't know this person, I love this person, right? That's how you're going to be able to win, when you can get inside their head. And that is so much easier to get inside that person's head if you actually know who that person is, the marketplace, right? And be very, very clear and precise on who that is. And I highly suggest it's someone you actually like. There's no point in diving into someone's nightmare on someone you actually hate, right? That would be just disastrous. So there's the message. And once you figure out your message now, is this making sense, guys? Is this helpful? Okay, great. This wasn't even on my presentation today. But if it's helpful, it's good. The last thing, one of the things is then it's mode. Okay, mode. Mode is meaning like, how does your marketplace like to receive that information, receive this message? Yeah? Sarah, right? So I checked out Sarah's page just when she mentioned it. I was like, okay, I'll check her out. Right? Checked out her Facebook page, checked out her website. Her marketplace, right? You're an interior designer, I assume? So think about that. If you're an interior designer, what's the mode that she should be in, at least platform-wise, she should be talking to her marketplace? Who's the marketplace, males or females, typically? It's going to be females, right? Right? So what platform should she do? I know she already does some of this stuff, so what do you think? Just Instagram, right? Instagram page, awesome, right? Why Instagram? Because it's visual, because interior design is all visual stuff, right? And then you add that on to Pinterest, because I think from Pinterest, like 80% females or something, or 90% females demographic that use Pinterest. Guys don't use Pinterest for whatever reason. But that would be the perfect spot, because if I'm a woman who's looking for interior design ideas, where am I going to go? I'm going to go on Pinterest, because Pinterest is a collection of all the best stuff in particular boards, so I can just go look, oh, I love this, right? Make sense? And that would be a perfect spot. And because her business is so visual, like YouTube is actually the next logical step for you to do, right? Because it is so visual, right? The videos are very, very visual for me to kind of to make it go through. I saw one of your quick videos, by the way. One suggestion was the bathroom, yeah. Right? That was the one. And one of the things that I would do is that at first, because I couldn't read, because it was quite small, I was on a phone, so I couldn't read it. So therefore, I couldn't tell, but you kind of highlighted, but it was almost like that was almost the finishing product at the beginning, like because of the way it was highlighted and it was like the stars and the lights. Do you know, as you put the brunt and then there's lights coming through? So it made me look like that was the finished product, which I know it wasn't because that was the before product. But if I couldn't read the words and I'm just visual, you can imagine like that the thought process in my head was going like, is that the design, right? So just from that perspective, as I would probably shift that, make it maybe black and white or make it ugly or just like make it like older pictures. So make it look like it's a bad picture, not a good picture. Does that make sense? And I'd probably use your voice. Like I would use your, I kind of scanned through the, I didn't watch the whole video, but when screen, are you not in it, are you?
No, not that one. That was the first one we
saw. Right, perfect. Yeah, so, okay, so I already picked up what I saw. So one of the key things is that you want to be able to kind of use your voice and actually be able to introduce and get your clients and show your clients. I think that's really, very important, okay? It's just one example. I wasn't picking on you. I just started using that as an example. So the mode is very important because if your demographic or your target audience is not on Facebook, then why would you go on Facebook and post there? If your demographic is not on Instagram, then don't go there. Make sense? If your demographic is like, you know, maybe 18 to 25 year olds, then you should be on the newest platform, which is like more like Snapchat. Facebook is probably more my generation, right? And Snapchat is more the next generation. Instagram is sort of, it's definitely up and coming right now. It's like, it's one of the highest ranking platforms right now, right? And I know it sucks. We have to jump ship, constantly adapt. That's the way of life, all right, as we talked about. So you got to look at that demographic and where are they hanging out and where are they spending the most time on. You're paintball, right?
Yeah.
Right. So where's your demographic? Where would they be hanging out most of the time?
Most of them are a big percentage of students, believe it or not.
University students or high school students?
No, university students. Yeah. It's actually changed. Don't know where they got the money from, but 5 years ago it was tradies.
Yeah.
But we've got a massive, like, 35% that are student-based.
Yeah, right. Huge, perfect. Huge. So, you know, like, so where, which platform would you think that would be the most advantageous for you to actually market to?
We use a lot of Facebook.
Yeah.
But we also go via university sites.
Right.
So we do JVs with universities. That's worked really well for us.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, just from a Facebook thing, like you can actually target specific universities.
Yeah.
And just actually have, hey, yeah. University of Sydney.
Yeah.
You know, and actually have just special just for them, and then do the same thing for, you know, whatever universities around.
Yeah.
You know, that demographic is also too. I would consider Snapchat. I don't know anything about Snapchat. Just to be clear.
I'm trying to get my son's trying to help me with that.
I know. Me too. I'm just starting to get into it. I have no idea what swiping left, right, up. I'm still learning. So, but I'm just thinking that demographic is kind of perfect for you. All right. Does this make sense, guys? Okay, but the reason why I'm suggesting, like from paintball perspective, is it is visual, but it's action, right? So the videos will be very, very helpful because it just stimulates my eye. So the Facebook ads would be actually a video would be probably more powerful because I'm scrolling, I'm seeing like guys shooting guns and it's kind of crazy, right? I actually held a gun for the first time in my life like 3 weeks ago. I was in America. I was at this event. And when I got to do skeet shooting and also target shooting, and I'm Canadian, and I live in Australia, right? So it's like, we don't have guns. So it's one thing I've never done before, so that's why I decided to go and do it. It's actually quite amazing, you know, to be able to, like, how much power it is in a gun to shoot. Like, I was doing skeet shooting, so that's the one where they throw the, I don't know what it is, clay, and then I'm shooting the clay, and I had this, the shotgun back, like, you know, just the shooting from the back. I ended up with a bruise like this big, right, the next day. It was so huge. It was so painful. But guys would love that, right? Just to, you know, to shoot, because that's what they're visualizing. So the videos and so you got to pick your demographic. So being very clear on your market, your message, and then your mode. Yep. The last component here I think that's very important is this. And this is, like I said, this comes from Matt Church, and the last part I've added, but I think it's very, very important, is your makeup. Not the makeup you wear, right? But who you are. Because if you want to be an authority in any particular space, this has got to be about you. Right? This is about you. What's your makeup? What is your genius? What is your thing that makes you special? Why should I listen to you? That's the question that goes on in every one of your minds when you actually go and listen to someone or check someone out, right? Think about that. What's your makeup? You have an advantage, and there's no,
See, we live in 2016, which means that you don't have to be chosen anymore. Right? 10 years ago, I'm going to have to, if I want to really get my promotion out there, I need a television station or a radio station or, you know, to pick me to be on camera to do that, right? And I'm sure, who's coming in next? Someone's coming. Lisa's coming in to show you how to get there. But really, at the end of the day, in today's age, is no one choosing you? Guess what? Built your own. Built your own YouTube channel. Built your own podcast. Radio station, I don't need a radio station. I own my radio station. Make sense? I control the content. I control how many people listen to me. I control what I want to say. And I control how long I want to say it for and whatever content I want to talk about. Make sense? I control the platform. And it's all for free. Right? Free. And really, if you want to get technical, you can all do it on this device, on a phone. Right? YouTube, it's video. That's all it takes. You want to record a podcast? Sure, the audio is not going to be great, but you can use this if you want to. We do Skype videos. My co-hosts live in Melbourne and Adelaide. We just do it over Skype. Record it on Skype. We dump it onto iTunes. That's it. Everything is free. Sure, the internet connection you got to pay for. That's about it. Right? But literally, it's dirt cheap compared to what you had to do 10, 15, 20 years ago. Would you not agree? Marketing has changed. I literally got a phone call the other day. Like 2 days ago, I got a phone call. I don't usually pick up my home phone because no one calls me there. Right? Only reason why I have it is because my internet line, whatever, right? But I decided to pick up the phone. For some reason, I decided to pick up the phone. And it was an automated message. He goes, "This is the Yellow Pages and White Pages. We'll be delivering your White Pages and Yellow Pages soon. If you do not want to receive this, please press 1 to cancel." They know they're dead. They were dead like 10 years ago. But now they're starting to finally admit it and go, "Hey, let's save on shipping costs and printing costs by just eliminating people who don't actually want this." Does it make sense? Right? When's the last time you actually opened the Yellow Pages? Right? It's never going to happen anymore. So that market's, and you got to change. If you don't adapt, you will, like, look at big companies like Blockbuster, right? Where did that go? Right? I remember, how many of you remember going to Blockbuster every single week, right? Renting DVDs, right? That's gone, right? What happened to Kodak? They're the one who invented the digital camera, and they shelved it. And now where are they? Right? They're trying to reinvent themselves. So when it comes back to authority marketing, you got to be very, very clear in who you stand for, what your makeup is. Let's think about companies, all right? Let's think about companies. What are common with these companies I'm going to name? Let's name Disney, Apple, Tesla, Virgin Airlines. Do you know their owners or who started them? Yeah, you know them, right? You know a story about them. Disney, you know Walt Disney. You know Apple is Steve Jobs, right? Virgin Airlines is Richard Branson, right? Tesla, you may or may not know, but it's Elon Musk. You know, Steven's favorite person at the moment, right? You know them. Why? You know the brand, but you love the brand. Who's an Apple fan here? A Mac fan? Okay, right. Do you love your Mac? Absolutely. Anybody who owns a Mac loves their Mac. Like, don't touch my Mac, right? And you never go back. And you love their product, and you know their product, but you also, because you love, and who's passionate about, like, you love Steve Jobs when he was alive and what he did. He was an ass, right? But you love his passion, his vision. Make sense? Disney, same thing. Like, you go, I mean, I went to Disney World, I took my kids to Disneyland a couple years ago, and I was blown away. Like, we're not even holiday season in America or anything. I was blown away the amount of lineup that I had to wait for a simple ride. Like, I'm not talking like a ride that's been there for like 40 years, right? Like Peter Pan or something. I'm waiting in line for like 45 minutes. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm not only in line waiting with my kids, like, you know, but they were like maybe 3 and 5, 3 and 6 or something at that time. And I'm waiting in line, and there's grown-up adults in that 45-minute line ahead of me waiting to go on this Peter Pan ride. I'm like, surely there's better rides for you, all right, than this stinky little kiddie ride that you're making me wait 45 minutes for. Why? Because they're passionate about Disney. It's amazing. It's like it's they there's people just flock to Disneyland because of Disney. Like, when they get there, you see crazy people. Like you see them all wear like Disney hats and Disney shirts, and they all wear the same thing. I'm like, wow. Yeah, it's like they're Disney fanatics. That's a tribe. Just to be very clear, that's a tribe. Right? That's a tribe. They built a tribe. Any of you as sports fans? That's a tribe, right? And all of these are tribes. And all those companies I named, the leaders, the visionaries, guided their company. And those you associate with that company, you love that company because of the visionaries behind them. So I understand you want to focus on your business and market your business, but I think in today's age, you fall in love with the business because of the people that drive that business, the person that's behind it. Gary Vaynerchuk, that has been tossed around, he's VaynerMedia. Right? But you know Gary Vee, you know Gary Vaynerchuk. You don't know too much about VaynerMedia so much unless he's constantly pitching it. But like, let's take a totally different four companies. Let's think about like Kmart, Holden, David Jones. Who's the head of their companies? But I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you even know who like runs their company? No, because it's just a faceless corporation. Right? Do you love their product? Well, maybe. But you definitely don't love it as much as the four that I mentioned before. Does this make sense? And so if we're going to talk about business and talk about authority, I would highly suggest that we start to kind of get out of our comfort zone to be able to be the face. And not necessarily, you don't have to be the face, but find someone who's going to be able to drive, utilizing the makeup of your business or your company, to be able to drive these things to get out to the marketplace. Does that make sense? Because you guys are all in small business, right? So therefore, and you are, 80% of you serve locally. And I've only been here for like less than 24 hours. And I went to dinner last night with a friend and a couple of business people that she invited. And everybody seems to know each other in Wollongong. Is that correct? Like it's small enough that everybody kind of knows each other. So would it not be wise if you were a bookkeeper to kind of be the bookkeeper? If you own, you know, a particular store, that's the store that you should go to when it comes to that. It's so much easier in today's age because you have the platform all for free, by the way, if you're willing to work it. But it does take time. This is a long game, not a short game. Okay? I can give you tactics and strategies, but that's only going to work short term. But if you really love your business, I mean, that's most of us are in. If we're talking about passion, then it's about playing that long game. It's about playing, like, how do I... not trying to get the returns right now, but it's like, how do I be better at that? For example, like let's go back to mode. We can say, you know what, I'm gonna start a YouTube channel, but I can guarantee your first video is gonna suck. So is your second one, so is your 10th one, right? But by the time you hit 20, 50, 100, you're gonna be better at it. I don't highly suggest you listen to my first 20 episodes of The Wellness Guy Show. It's there, I can't take it away because it's on the interweb, right? It's there. The audio was terrible, like shockingly bad. We still got to number one though, right? But the game is raised, but you're never gonna get better at it unless you start at some point. That's why I'm starting Snapchat. I don't know anything about Snapchat. I literally started like 2 days ago taking my first photo. I'm like, I don't even know what happened, right? I don't know where it went. I'm like, I don't even know if it's there. But you know what? I gotta start sometime, right? Facebook Live came. Like I had Facebook Live. I got access to Facebook Live really early. And I'm like, I don't know what to do here. So I'm okay on camera because I've been doing videos for quite some time now. I've been doing videos for probably, you know, 8 years now. So I'm okay, I'm comfortable on camera. And I'm comfortable on stage now. I wasn't always. I was I'm very introverted. And I'm pretty scared talking to people when I was young. But I got over that fear. Right? By doing more and more of these. You know, at the Wellness Summit that we do every year, you know, I speak to 1,000 people, right? And so I had to overcome that fear if this is what I want to do. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get it. Are you going to have it home runs every time? Absolutely not. But this is my passion. This is what I love to do. I love just teaching in front of crowds. and people. I love helping you win, right? So the thing is that I need practice all the time. This is practice for me, right? This is always just getting out there and just doing my thing. And I'll figure out tonight, you know, when I go home, like what worked, what didn't work, what did you laugh at, and what didn't you laugh at? What resonated with you, what didn't? That's why I constantly ask for feedback, because I want to know, like, if you're not feeling this, then let's go somewhere else, right? I need to pivot on the spot. I don't want to drag you over the next 3 hours being bored out of your mind, right? So what I'm trying to get at is that you got to start somewhere. You got to start practicing somewhere. Now, you could do the first 20 videos and never post it up anywhere. You can write your blog, your article, and never post it, but just write for yourself. That's the key. Has anybody heard of Seth Godin? Right. Who watches Seth Godin stuff? Sort of? Okay. Seth Godin books are amazing. You should go check him out. Seth Godin. He writes a blog every day. And every day, like literally, if you read his blog every day, which is pretty hard, but if you read his blog every day, just for a few days in a row, you're going, holy crap, that's insightful. Like, I don't think I've ever read one of his blogs and go, like 2 days in a row. It's like, most of the time, it's like, wow, that's brilliant. He's been writing every day for I don't know how long, like at least 10 years, right, since I followed him. And he puts out a blog every single day. And the key, though, is that he doesn't just write one blog a day. He writes about 3 to 5. And he just posts one. Now think about that. Like, writing one a day is hard enough, but can you imagine, like, writing 3 a day and only posting one? That's practice. That is putting the hours in. That is working it on your craft. Right? How many of you actually spend time working on your craft? Right? We're so worried about transaction all the time, right? Marketing, where's the people? But we actually forget about the craft. The craft is here, is who you are, who's naturally you. Some of you guys are great speakers. Some of you guys are great presenters. Some of you look great on camera. Some of you have a great voice. Some of you are amazing writers. Use and leverage what you do best. Yeah? I'm a terrible writer. I told you my story between 5 and 9. I was in Hong Kong, so I didn't have the basic understanding and structure of grammar, right? So which means my grammar and my English is absolutely terrible. So please don't critique it. On my emails, I literally have a PS. It says, my grammatical errors on this email is my gift to you, right? I literally have that on my email, right? Thank you. Why do you think I do videos? Because I can speak fast, and therefore, hopefully you don't catch it. You know, the grammatic mistakes that I make. My co-hosts make fun of me all the time of my Chinglish, right, in the potty class. And now that's part of me. That's my makeup now. Like, that's the persona that I actually have amongst my tribe, right? That's the entity that the people know me for, and they make fun of me, and that's fine. I resisted that at the beginning, but sometimes you just need to lean on it and embrace it rather than try to kind of force it away from you. Because we often kind of like look at our weaknesses and we kind of squash it down and never show that side. But in today's age, it's actually better to show that side. Right? It's to show that the humility of side, that you're not perfect. It makes you real. Back in the 80s, not so much. You just want to show the flashy cars, the Ferraris, the boats, and everything else. But as we move to the 90s, it shifted. And we're in the 2000s. Now, we're still in that phase of just vulnerability and community. That will shift to another phase, like maybe 20 years from now, right, when our kids grow up. But for now, it's about showing your authenticity and being real, okay, and showing every side of you. We talked about Facebook Live and talk about these things. So just on a side note, your tribe actually kind of want to know what you do behind the scenes, right? For you, it would be great to show some videos on, like, how you actually prepare for the day. Like, how do I get, and work, and how you do the cleanup, like, you know, well, it's you don't have to show like 20-minute video on this, right? But you can literally just go, all right, we just had another day. Like, this is what the mess is left over, right? But people love to see the behind the scenes of what you're doing because they don't get to see that. They just see the finished product, right? The polished product, right? We also, for a time there, we are so excited about making sure our videos are professionally done. You know, it's got a green background or, you know, white background or whatever. And that's good, but mix it up a little bit. People kind of want to know you kind of not always corporate. They want to know, like, hey, what are you doing today? Like, what are you, how do you, what's actually happening? Isn't that what Facebook is about? When you look at Facebook feeds, It's about trying to get an understanding of how this person is, what's going on with their life, right? Now, and be very, very clear on social media on what you're willing to share and what you're not willing to share. Okay, so Gary Vaynerchuk doesn't show any pictures of the kids or his wife. He hardly ever talks about them because they made an agreement not to talk about them, right? In my honesty, I'm very clear, like I'm okay to share the pictures of my kids, right? Because that shows me that because most people think I'm really young, right? They look at me and they go like, you know, like you're like early 30s, like what do you have to say, right? And so therefore I kind of have to show them like, actually you have kids, like, you know, I got young kids and I'm actually a lot older than you think I am, right? So just imagine me being a chiropractor, you know, you come to see me and I've been a chiropractor for 16 years. So you imagine like 16 years ago, right? And I'm like, where's the chiropractor? You're the student, aren't you? Right, that's the impression I got, right? That's every single time. So I have to kind of like, you know, boost up my authority somehow. And so those are the things you're gonna have to work with. If you look young, you're gonna have to make yourself a little older, right? And so the thing is, you gotta be very clear on what you're willing to share and what you're not willing to share. I can't display pictures of my wife unless I have my wife's approval. Yeah, husband's in here, yeah, right? It's very, very, very specific. It's like, this one? No. This one? No. Oh my gosh, first. That's why I don't see many pictures of my wife, because it's like, if I don't have approval, then I'm not gonna show it, right? That's the agreement. So you gotta be very clear on what you're willing to show and what you're not willing to show. But just be very, be very clear right from the beginning, those are the rules, and then work within those rules and then show that. Don't always just be business. Sometimes show a bit of humility and just like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Hey, this is why I'm at this event. Look, I met this, you know, this cool chick, and this is what she does, right? And it's about just sharing different things out there. People kind of get a complete picture of who you are, rather than just always coming at it like, this is what we do. We just do interior design. No, like sometimes it's about other things. I want to know interest. Like she might go show up to a game. Right? You know, maybe, I don't know what game, she might go to a soccer game, and she's saying, oh my God, first time in a soccer game. It's like, oh, all of a sudden now, like that tribe that you have might have a sliver of that tribe that are actually fans of soccer. And they're gonna go, oh, that's awesome. Make sense? And you're showing different sides of you and people are gonna gravitate towards. Make sense? Okay. All right. So, let me ask you this so far. What you learned so far, has it been helpful? What specifically have you got out of this so far? Just so I know before we kind of take a break. Actually, I want to do this. Do me a favor. Everybody's in the table. You two come, if you don't mind, just sort of talking to these table. Amongst your groups, right, in the group, just talk about one thing that you got. So everybody share at least one thing that you got. This is the rule. Share one thing, insight that you have in the last, say, 90 minutes. And more importantly, why was it insightful? Okay, what was insightful? And also the second question is, why was it insightful to you? Okay, go ahead and do that with us. Okay. All right, guys, let's bring it back to the room. Say thank you, everybody. Thanks, everybody, to your table. All right, so what I'm going to get you to do, this is going to be helpful for me, but it's also helpful for other people in the room as well, because I think it's important that something you, like, see, the thing is, you learn, like, there's a lot of stuff, the information that's pumped into you for the last 75 minutes, right? And oftentimes what happens is that you remember just like the highlights, and this is why I got you to share, because all of a sudden you get to hear other people, and then all of a sudden, like, oh yeah, I forgot he talked about that. Yeah, because you weren't, you know, necessarily not writing your notes, you were just concentrating on that time. So now it's like a good reminder. So I just want to just quickly go through what we talked about. What was some of the highlights for this room, of this table over here? What was some of the things that you guys talked about? Just one major thing.
The makeup?
Okay, what specifically?
Built your own.
Yeah. Okay, great. Who resonated with that, right? You know, it's so important, really, right, in today's age, to really have your own brand, right? Your personal brand matters. Your personal brand is what people gravitate to, and you will constantly change and will always evolve. But the thing is that you are who you are, and it's so easy, isn't it? You don't have to pretend to be anybody else but you. You know, pardon? And then you build your tribe. Because at the end of the day, you want to build people who like you anyways, right? So you might as well be you. And not someone else. I was just telling Steve that when I met Gary a second time, what I really admire about Gary Vaynerchuk, who knows Gary Vaynerchuk? Just a few people, okay. So Gary Vaynerchuk, if you go search him out, but like what I really like about him is that he is exactly the same off stage as he is on stage. Like he is how he is. Like I met him at Starbucks, like I literally met him at Starbucks once and we were just chatting him, like he's just having a conversation, like just with exactly how he is, and he would just speak his mind just based on what it is. He's just a human being,
right? How many times you ever met, I don't know if you ever had an opportunity, where you meet a speaker or someone you see on TV, and all of a sudden you meet them, and like they're just a complete ass, right? Or they're not anything like the way they appear to be. And people can smell that out now, right? They can search you. They can find you. They can find everything. So you may as well be very, very, yeah, be yourself. But there's certain things you want to keep secret, right? We talked about that. Don't post that on Facebook, okay? Like, I mean, so in the chiropractic profession, for example, I deal with a lot of younger chiropractors coming out and people who are graduating who are in universities, you know, who might be in universities. And there's a big transition when they go from a university student, I'm sure you all kind of remember, like when high school university student, to the real world, right? You don't think about your personal brand in the future that's now recorded for a lifetime on Facebook. All the pictures you took when you were drunk or with all these crazy stuff that you used to do, now it doesn't seem so professional when you're a lawyer or a medical doctor or a chiropractor. Make sense? And so therefore, you got to be very clear. Yeah, it's like a whoops. So I think it's either going, all right, let's just close that right down to privacy to only my friends can see that and start a new profile page, right? Like my I don't have a fan page or anything. I just like usually just use me. If you want to search, if you want to be friends with me, just go on LawrenceTam.com, LawrenceTam, Facebook.com/LawrenceTam. Like it's an open book, right? I'm very, like, I will share whatever I feel like I'm sharing, but I'm not going to share you everything that's going on in my life. I'm not going to share with the difficulties I'm having with my son Christian, right? That's not, because that's my platform. Make sense? So I'm very clear on what I'm willing to share and what I'm not willing to share, and I have that, you know, line drawn, what I mentioned, talked about. But your makeup is who you are, and people attract to that you, okay? But also show both sides. What about this table? What was one of the highlights that you got from this morning?
Authenticity.
Yep. Great. Yeah, so just what we just talked about. Just being very, very clear on what is the good and the bad side of you, because that's what people want to hear in today's age. Great. This table.
I think exactly what you're talking about, we spoke about the Facebook, you know, having two separate profiles that don't work. But it's who you are. It's like you're constantly marketing yourself now, and people want to know the person behind the business. But when you spoke about video not being quality, I just had this kid that did a video. He's so passionate about doing video for my new site, but the video is very average. And I thought, I don't really want to show this, but then I go, he's made this effort. So I'm actually videoing him about his passion and his process of doing that, and then I'm going to share his video.
Perfect. See, at least there's a story behind that, yeah. So now people have a reasoning for it.
Connected, and that's what I'm, and when you said that, it just connected, I understand, I'm starting more to understand the marketing and that constant nurturing, telling storytelling.
Yeah. So let me be very clear, just so I'm not mistaken in terms of my words. If it's a really shit video, it's a shit video, so don't post that up, right? So just be very clear. Don't post anything up just for the sake of posting something up, right? But you got to be very clear to make sure that it's got to be very, very clear that video or whatever you're posting, it's got to meet a minimum criteria, right? A certain standard. And all I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be always, every single video produced doesn't have to be polished, you know, everything's got to be studio produced video quality. I used to do that. Like when I first started, I was like, I bought all the lights. I bought all the backgrounds. And literally, it would take me 45 minutes to set up all the lights, all the cameras, and I did it by myself, right? So I wasn't like, I didn't have a videographer or anything. I set the camera, set the lights, and then, okay, I'm ready now. 45 minutes into it. Just about to press record, battery's out. Right? Or the kids come home. And it's like, shit. I'm like, oh my God. And now it takes 45 minutes to unpack everything else and no video, right? And I found it so much easier just to grab my phone and just literally shoot a video like this. And it still works. Now, I'm not suggesting that all your videos should be like this. You should have a mixture of both. That's what I'm saying. Mix it up a little bit. Mix it up a little bit. I think it's very important. I think it's great to be able to see that both sides. Just one more from this table.
I think a language thing that you talked about, May, we had Mark Emanese yesterday, two referrers. We're in a similar industry but different. And we realised, didn't we, and hearing you today, that we need to talk to them differently. We need to be able to speak to them, even though they're still injury management. What they want is different. So how we how we, what we're sending them marketing-wise, we've been doing the same thing, we can't do anymore. We need to streamline it so that they so we're really listening to what they need.
Yeah, so listening to the communication is really, communication is really important, and it's about, one of the biggest marketing tips that I can give anybody is always be in the mind and presence of the customer and the client. If you can get inside their head and be and just talk to them as a person rather than, you know, everybody, it's so much easier. And that's why the closer the niche you have, the better. Stop writing emails that says, "Hi, everybody. I don't want to be just like everybody. I want you to speak to me." Right? Like, sure, you might not know their first names, but you don't even have to hide there. But even I would literally try to write an email as much as I can. Okay, so this is a trick. No, not a trick, but here's a good thing. And I'll end off with this. Is that okay? When you shoot videos or when you're writing something, like an email or a blog or anything else, the trick is this, is that you see this little camera or this little dot here that's on your phone or the camera that's in the back. What you want to do is you want to have, imagine one person, which is what's called the avatar, that represents everyone in your tribe. Okay? The one level up from there is that you want to name that person. Okay? Name him. Bobby, Johnny, Billy, whatever. But that name, it's got to be fit for that tribe. Like, you're not going to... typically, if my tribe is between 15 and 24, chances are that avatar is not going to be named Barbara. Right? Just to be clear, right? See, the name matters because every generation has like certain types of names. Like my generation was like all Jennifers. All like had like five Jennifers in my class. You know what I mean? That was like that typical name. Now you're going to get more unique names now for the next year. So all I'm saying is that name that person. Like you should probably pick your favorite client, right? If that represents your tribe. And just what she or he looks like. This is what I do. So when I film this camera, I'm looking directly. Remember, know where the lens is, by the way. Okay, just to be clear. It doesn't bother me so much, but it's just kind of like that's a kind of a rookie mistake where you're looking over here and the camera's over here. Like you can kind of tell that you're not, because then you're not engaging with me, right? Because when I'm watching, I want you to engage with me, right? You're not going to talk like this, are you?
I do. Hey,
okay, all right. All right, wrong person to choose from, as an example. So, okay, going back to video. So when you're talking to video or walking the camera, I'm looking inside that lens, and I'm imagining, right? I'm imagining Jennifer in that. I'm talking to Jennifer. I'm literally just speaking to Jennifer only and not anybody else. When I'm writing to Jennifer as if I'm writing a personal email to Jennifer, okay? And when you do that, that person on the other side, on the receiving end, feels like you are talking directly to me only. Or I'm doing this video as if you're speaking to me only. Right? That is what's powerful. Because now the receiving is like, I feel good. Because they're speaking to me. Or I get this feeling. It's human instinct that we want to be loved by everybody. Right? We want to be part of something. That's natural. If you can write that way or speak that way or do videos that way, you connect at a totally different level. Yeah? Perfect? Great. We're going to take a break.
Yeah. Round of applause for Lawrence, guys.